Hey, Rob.
Chuck is here.
Okay.
Scott, John, Jeff, and Austin are here. Chris is out today.
Yeah, Chris is on the line.
Oh, hey. Congratulations on the proposal.
It's a pleasure to hear from you guys. Heidi's sitting right here and says hello. This isn't, you know, Rob, you can drive 1,000 miles away and still it doesn't let up.
No, it shouldn't. So
you're against me too.
Absolutely. What was the congratulations for?
They all think that I'm getting married at some point or getting engaged at some point.
Oh, I see.
Heidi's sitting here staring at me, and she just goes, "Me too."
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, everyone's on the same page.
Good. She must be loving it.
Chris is my new role in charge of leadership. We're going to take this next 20 minutes to talk about you and Heidi and your goals for the next 12 months while we get you in the car together.
Yeah, so yeah. The one thing that I dislike about this is that it's recorded and available for consumption afterwards. So for the record, I plead the fifth.
That's a lot of social pressure right there.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Tommy's on. Hi, Peninsula. Well, hope everyone's well. Happy Thanksgiving week.
Hey, Tommy.
Thank you. Thanks, Tommy.
All right. So, what is on your mind besides Chris's engagement?
The 5-star model is on our mind.
Okay.
Chuck has, we went through his book and he has some goals to get, really everyone on the right, on the schedule. We're shooting for him to contact everyone by December 10th. So that's all good. Everybody else is in good shape there. And so, yeah, really moving on to the 5-star model and trying to figure out, who can do these? We wanted to ask you do some teams have someone who's ultimately responsible, but actually have two people that are the director of implementation, as an example.
It's up to you guys, of course. Ultimately, someone needs to be responsible. When no one's responsible, then no one's responsible. So
yeah.
We like to have accountability is the key to this. And as much as, we as human beings avoid accountability, it's what makes a great team great. We all know that intuitively that, the great coaches hold people accountable, and that's what we're looking for here. So any way you want to do it is fine, but again, ultimately it comes down to the offensive coach's responsibility to run the offense. He can have as many people working for him as he wants, but that's the game. You gotta have somebody in charge of defense, somebody in charge of offense, you gotta have a head coach, you gotta have and then everybody does their jobs, and you have a winning team.
Like the Lions.
Like the Lions, yeah. Like the new Jets, I gather, huh? Three wins? Pretty good.
So can you talk about maybe each one a little bit, specifically like brand/service? So is this supposed to be a CSA?
It can be. If you have a very strong person in that role is really, think of it as almost the business manager for the team. They're in charge of compliance with the strategy compliance in terms of Supernova, the service strategy, in terms of making sure that you maintain your min and max, maintain that you reset your minimums every year, make sure that problems get solved, 1 hour response, 24 hour resolution, make sure that everybody is being called, that, you know, everybody's on the same page in terms of service and operations. So that maintains your brand. You know, your brand isn't determined by your best client, but by your worst client. So you make sure that you have consistency of you know, especially where you're bringing together a team like this that's been doing, you know, things differently. And now if we're going to have a model that we follow, we want the model to be consistent. And so having a person in charge of that part of the experience is as important as any other, probably more. I would say the leader is the most important person on the team. The second is the person in charge of brand management in terms of just holding the team accountable. Okay?
Okay. I will. Hello. And so talk about the leadership position.
Yep.
I mean, how is this person supposed to meet with everyone on the team monthly? That's, I mean, you know, we have a responsibility to our clients, and that's, you know,
11 people.
That's 11 people. That's, you know, that's, it just seems unrealistic.
Well, the person that's the leader should probably have less responsibility when it comes to number of clients. So you just decide whether, I mean, it sounds crazy, but your investment in each person on the team is worth at least as much as every client that you have.
So, Rob, do those meetings, are they on the calendar for every team member?
Yes.
And how long do you typically recommend those meetings are?
In the beginning, they'll be longer than they will in the future. Just like your client meeting. In the beginning, since there's typically, this conversation typically never happens, the conversation will be longer. But as time goes on, they become shorter because it's now just more of a checkup than it is establishing the rationale for why we're doing what we're doing. So
to translate that into, you know, initially are they a half hour and then they down to 15 minutes, or is it an hour and a half hour? Is this
so? But more importantly, what are they accomplishing? This is both. Is this also accountability? Is this goal setting and accountability personally and professionally?
Yeah. And so you set a goal personally. All right. So I'm setting my goals personally in terms of my personal professional development. I want to get my CFA. I also am setting goals that I want to share with you, which is to, you know, become a triathlete, and this is my plan for doing it. And then the goal in the team is I am the director of planning, and I need some help in terms of this situation, or how do I handle this, or, you know, whatever. So it's a coaching opportunity to coach So let's say I'm the leader of your team, all right? And you got a chance to meet with me once a month. What are you going to talk about? Just think about it, right? You're going to talk about things that are important to you, right? And I'm going to try and help you and guide you to be better teammate and be better at what you do. So it's kind of your time as a teammate, and the leader's responsibility is to grow you. Just like my responsibility is to help grow you guys as professionals in your business, that's what the leader does. Okay? So it may take you in a different direction. I would try and limit it to a half an hour. But you know, sometimes you might have to have a second appointment or something if something is really important.
So only for the sake of Robin, we've talked about and we see the value in doing, you know, family summit meetings, but we don't really have a process, a standardized agenda for that. Who would be responsible based on your directors? Is that brand and service? Is that sales and marketing? Is that implementation? Who would develop that?
It's a marketing initiative, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a combination of marketing and planning to me, right? Because you're talking kind of a family office meeting with a family on everything that's important in their life and all that. I would say that would fall under planning, but it would be a marketing initiative.
What I love about this is we have lots of great initiatives that have gone nowhere, you know, because to your point, nobody's responsible for it. So this is a solution to that inertia.
Right. And the leverage of meeting with basically the boss every month is that those initiatives will go someplace.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you're going to meet as a team once a week, and each of you are going to report in on how you're doing on your area of responsibility. Doesn't have to take long. Could be a stand-up meeting. Could take 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
But you're going to just tell everybody how great you're doing in your area of responsibility based on the plan that you put together.
Okay.
So this is the leverage, guys. This is taking teams and leveraging them. So you're not five or six or whatever FAs working together. You're a team. And that's a big, huge difference.
Okay. I'm good there. Anybody else?
You know what the roles and responsibilities are. Do you understand them?
I think so. I mean, you got it outlined here in the coaching guide.
Yep.
Next, I guess, you know, just we kind of talked about in our meeting before your call about reselling Supernova to all of our clients. They've been on it for, you know, 4 or 5 years, and having that be our monthly topic in January.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, refocus on, you know, the length of the call. Some of them have gone too long. We've talked about, you know, with specific clients and stuff. And but I bring all that up because it seems like you've modified the mini me folder from its original origins, where you've got like a brochure in there and stuff on referrals, where initially I believe it was just simply one side for notes in one side for agenda items. Am I remembering that wrong, Rob? Or
yeah, a little bit. We had four sides to it initially versus six sides for the regular folder, and I've gone to six and six because what we found was there's value in a lot of the things that you have in your folder that can benefit the client. And so, for example, the referral sheet, right? I almost feel a little bit embarrassed to put it in there, but I thought, well, what the heck? But
did you say referral fee?
No, sheet. Yeah. We have referrals given and referrals received. But what we found with exploration is that this thing can be very, very helpful. So think of every client as a center of influence, every client as an advocate and an ambassador who spends time thinking about you guys and wanting to introduce you to others. So what you do is you keep a list of all the introductions that they've given you and when they became a client, and put that date down there on their sheet. And so before you, and then you put on your recurring calendar the day that they have become a client, and then the person that referred you. So on that day, or in your monthly call, you remind them that this is the month or the day, depending on your ability to manage time. This is the day that you introduced me to John Schindler, and he has become a great client, and I want to thank you for that, and just tell me how much I appreciate it.
And when when the client gives you a new referral, do you update that sheet and send it out to them? How do you keep?
Yeah, I would. I think that's great. That's a great idea. Just email that along with the agenda and just say, we've updated this based on your recent introduction. Now, how many people actually remember who they've been given the referral from, or remember that they gave them, or any of that? People just don't remember a lot of things. And having you as their person that reminds them is really appreciated. So you call both the person that introduced you and the person that you received the client. You received the account. Okay, so same day. You open the account. It's the fifth year. John, thank you very much. This is the fifth year anniversary of our relationship. I just wanted to call and thank you for your confidence in us. And just tell you that I really appreciate the relationship. Wow, that's great, John. I appreciate it. And blah, blah, blah. You have a nice conversation. And the one that's critical, though, is the person that referred you. You call him and say, just wanted to call you, Bill, and remind you that this is the fifth anniversary when you referred me to John Schindler. Things are going well with him, and I just wanted to thank you again for the introduction. And Bill goes, oh, yeah, I've got another guy for you. Boom. So it's an opportunity for both of them to introduce you to someone else, or at least to remember what a wonderful thing that they did for themselves and for you. See, each person in this has had two other parties that are very happy because of them. Okay? Just think about it, right? If you introduce somebody and it works out, you're really a happy person because you like both of the people. The person that was referred is very happy and thankful to the other two because they're happy. So why wouldn't you want to make two other people happy by introducing them? You're making your FA happy, and you're making your friend, the new client, happy. So if people want to help you, and they want to make people happy. So giving them the opportunity to do that in this very subtle way just makes sense. So that's just one of the little things that we've come up with to use that folder for both you and the client. And it's a great reminder, especially if somebody is prolific at it. We want to really thank them and keep thanking them because they'll keep doing it. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah, the enthusiastically endorsed list is something that we use a lot now and really wasn't that important, John, probably when you went through the program. But it's really important now. We want to build an enthusiastically endorsed list of professionals that we work with. And you can have kind of a master list for the whole team, but each person should have their own particular list. And that can be geographic. It can be, you know, a lot of different reasons that you might have multiple lists. But
who maintains that list?
The team would maintain that list. Probably the brand manager would maintain that list.
Okay.
Because it's part of the folder system.
Anyone else have any questions about responsibilities for your directorship?
So we didn't, Chris Allen, you're on the call. Your name was brought up as director of planning. You also didn't, we didn't ask you about, you know, your opinion on other people's roles. So are you comfortable reading director of planning? And Chuck was also a name that was brought up on that.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, we haven't discussed what all, you know, what all that entails. But we can follow up with all that when I get back.
Okay.
So implementation, who would that be?
So what we have to finalize these, but director of planning, we had Chuck or Chris. And again, we may ultimately assign two and then have one person responsible. Implementation, okay. Director is going to be Austin, but Scott is going to be his wingman. I'm going to be brand and service. Looks like Jeff will probably be of growth. And then Scott, leadership, director of leadership.
With Jeff assisting.
I actually thought I would assist you on that, and I thought Liz could assist him on
Liz was gonna definitely
on growth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good. Those are fun. Good. Okay, so why don't you guys spend some time making sure that everybody understands those roles and responsibilities. And then my suggestion is you then write out a one-page plan on what you're going to do. Okay. And this is the perfect time to do it, right? You've got 2020 coming up. So what we're planning, where are we in planning now? And where do we want to be at the end of 2020? And that would be things like how many plans? Does everybody have a plan? How many do we want to redo? Updating plans, how is that going to happen? Etc. If everybody has a plan, great. If not, who doesn't have a plan? And then how often, you know, how many can we do? Theoretically, I mean, practically. Implementation, what is that? What's our investment matrix look like? Is it consistent? Does everybody have the same, you know, somebody comes in with the same exact investment, risk tolerance and, you know, length of time that they have until retirement, et cetera? What is that investment matrix look like, and is it consistent through everybody? Do we have some tails? Do we have the supernova, meaning cut out a bunch of you know, various investment options because they don't fit into a consistent matrix? that person is also in charge of the 24-month calendar. So, and in charge of training for that calendar. So we're going to do liability management the month before that investment. Before we handle the liability management, we need to train the team on what it looks like, what are interest rates, what are our four options for liability management, and then what, if we do 20 mortgages because we introduce liability management, is the staff ready to deal with that and trained up for that? So we want to make sure our back office people know that. We're going to be doing this, you know, in March and April, and we're probably going to end up doing some mortgages, so we want that to move smooth. So that's...
So that's the director of implementation, handles the service calendar.
Handles the 24-month calendar of... It's really a strategic calendar on what are we going to do. You know, January is probably going to be, and we give you a sample of that. But the 24-month calendar, you know, January would probably be the outlook for the year. November, December is going to be required minimum distributions cleanup and tax selling cleanup. So
that's
the calendar
that's not the director of brand and service.
That would be the implementation, because I want that person in charge of training and managing the calendar. Now everybody can give input to it, and it can be executed by the brand manager, but the person in charge of that is the person that's going to decide when we're going to implement our strategy around liability management, around long-term care, around, you know, taking and finishing off the plan.
Gotcha.
Okay. We kept the low-hanging fruit when we do the plan. We put off liability management. We put off things like long-term care, and we need to get those things addressed, whether or not the client wants them or needs them. We still want to educate the client on those things because we don't want them buying something from somebody else. And
yeah.
Things like, you know, when estate planning, we do the estate planning, that's great, but have we really gone through and made sure every beneficiary on every life insurance policy, every annuity, everything else is current? Well, that's director of implementation, okay? So they, and we typically will tell you to take 2 months to get these things done because there's some work involved, right? You introduce the idea, then you've got to get the life insurance policy on Earth, you know, figure out where it is, if it's here or there or wherever, and then you got to look at it, see who's the beneficiary, and then you got to fix it. So, it, you know, those are things that take work. They don't seem to pay you, but if they go wrong, it's a nightmare. So you, as a team, need to do those things, because the worst thing is the guy, your client dies and the children spend the next 4 years suing them because the wife got the money and she was the second or third wife, right?
So then will this be our homework for next Monday, is to have the directors sort of present their summary of priorities in the one-page summary?
I think that's a terrific and ambitious and on target.
At least a rough draft of it, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
it doesn't happen.
It's a Thanksgiving week, so.
And the good news on these things is, look, anything you do is going to be moving the ball in that direction, and that's good. It's really good. So don't worry that it's not, you know, double-spaced four pages. I don't want that. I want bullets. I want this is what I'm actually going to do, and if we get here, this is going to be a huge win for us. So you may not know what you want done, even by next week, but at least you're going to know what you don't know, and you're going to ask some questions and try and unearth what you need to know in order to do that job.
And then we didn't have, in our meeting prior to yours, we didn't have completion on, in your homework, you wanted us to have two niches and six centers of influences, correct?
Yeah. I mean, that's, we talked about, we want to go down the path of segmentation, organization, and acquisition. So we're going to talk about three things every time we talk. You know, how are we doing on segmentation?
That we focus on that. So I don't know if that's something that you want to put on next week's agenda or at a later date.
No, I mean, we can hit it quick if you've got it. What did you come up with?
I guess I would just ask that we would have that be a homework item for everyone to have for Monday because people didn't have it completed. And if we're not going to complete on these calls, we're never going to get it done. So.
Right. Okay, so we'll write down two niches. And what we want is you know, one of the things that I have teams doing, if they have time, is to go through their top 20 clients and identify where they came from. You know, it's a simple identification of opportunities. I just had one guy who said, oh, yeah, I just brought in a nice account from General Mills, and he's not in Minneapolis, but he has a niche of people from General Mills, and he didn't even think about it, didn't even know it, you know. So one of the things we want to do is raise awareness of what we do pretty well and do more of it. I mean, this isn't complicated, but what I find is that unless we focus on it, we just don't raise our awareness. We want to go from unconsciously competent in our skill set to conscious. So if you're already good at this, just tell me you're really good at this. And we have six niches and we crush it in those niches. If you don't, then do some forensic homework and figure out where your clients come from and what they have in common. Do they all come from the same company, the same religious affiliation, et cetera, you know?
So we're not just picking a niche. We're actually looking at what we have and what's the common thread.
Right. We want to exploit the niches that we already have. You know, you came from UPS, and now that's your niche. Or you worked at, you know, Eli Lilly, and now you work here, and this is your niche. That's your natural niche. That's what you know. And then we want to then identify other niches. We're really good with neurosurgeons. We just happen to have 10 of them. Well, you didn't just happen to have them. That happened, a reason that happened, and you're really good at getting neurosurgeons. So let's get 20, okay? So that's the idea. It's not complicated, but it's just the awareness thing. And that's where the director of growth and marketing will be, you know, your constant reminder and worker in terms of educating, training, and helping you to grow those niches and to, in this, there are seven strategies that we work on with the Supernova Multiplier. And each one is described in detail in each chapter with good examples. And so if you're working on that, make sure you read that chapter again on niches and centers of influence and then think about it, apply it to your practice, and then draw out of those the niches that would apply to you. There's two different kinds. Your natural niche, which would be your corporation you came from or something like that. Well, and then your professional niche, which would be CPAs, attorneys, commercial, realtors, and so forth. Okay. So we want you to have several of each, and we'll go into how we contact them and leverage that and develop this model. But one of the reasons we really want the five-star model to be very concrete and effective is that you're going to use that to market yourself with centers of influence and very large clients so that they see that there's depth and breadth to your team. You're all just not a bunch of FAs sitting around. Okay?
Yep.
So good. All right? Have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thanks, Rob.
You too, Rob.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Have a good Thanksgiving. Take care.
Thanks, Rob.
Are we debriefing here, guys, or what?